This morning I begin a series of sermons on our church's mission statement, which was adopted a good many years ago, over a decade ago. We've had a number of new people who have joined us since that time, and so for some this may be a refresher course, for others this may be quite new, but I hope it's an effective message for each one of us. The sermon is entitled this morning, Come, Grow, Go. There's one scripture verse I'm reading this morning. Prior to this particular verse, Jesus has been explaining to his disciples, teaching them, in fact, about who he is inviting to come and to follow him. And there is a section before our reading in which Jesus tells his disciples, let the children come. Let the children come to me, he says, and do not stop them, for it is such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. And then he tells his disciples about a certain man in one of the Gospels. He's called the rich young ruler. He is rich, he has wealth, he has youth, he's young, and he has power. He is a ruler, he has everything. And he comes to Jesus asking how he might inherit eternal life. Jesus asks him some questions, and the man responds that he has done all these things. He has kept the commandments since his youth. And then Jesus says this in Luke 18, beginning at verse 22, this verse. When Jesus heard this from him, he said to him, there is still one thing lacking. Sell all that you own and distribute the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. Let us pray this morning as we come to the message. O Lord, your servants are listening this morning. Teach us what we need to hear. In Christ's name, may we hear your gracious invitation to each one of us. Amen. Well, when Jesus began his earthly ministry, he called people to come to him. Come, follow me, he said. That's the way he called his disciples. And then at the conclusion of his ministry, note with me that Jesus said, go. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. Proclaim the good news to all that you meet. That was the Great Commission. In between the come and the go, throughout the scriptures, Jesus says, learn of me. In other words, he says, grow in me. And so these three commands of Jesus, come, grow, and then go. And if it is the ministry that Jesus practiced, then it should be the ministry of this particular church and every church, should it not, in 2023. Come, grow, go. We adopted these words over a decade ago as our mission statement, and they mean that we are to welcome people. We are to invite people. We are to be a hospitable church, and I'm proud to say this church is. It's a very hospitable place. I remember the words of Bob Davenport, his brother Bill, a longtime friend of mine, an attorney in St. Pete. He came once, and he said to his brother Bob, he said, this is a happy church. And I've always remembered that. It's a hospitable church, a welcoming church, and that's the spirit of Christ among us. Come, come, welcome. You're welcome here. Next Sunday, we will speak about growing and learning in the faith and the importance of that. And then in a few weeks, we'll talk about going in His name. And in the going part, you will hear about our efforts and mission for raising, bringing in clothes for kids through that Clothes for Kids program over the next few weeks. And then in August, we will talk about the needs of the farm workers at Bethel Ministry, the migrant workers, and their need for shoes for children as they start back to school, and the farmers and families needing shoes in general. always have to remember to announce, remember, they all have kind of smallish feet. They encourage us to give small shoes, not big ones. Anyway, next Sunday is growing and learning in Christ. But for this morning, the focus is on the invitation to come to Christ. That's the emphasis this morning. And our faith begins. We all begin in faith with the gracious invitation of Jesus Christ. And that's wonderful news. That's good news. He invites us into a relationship with Him through that gracious invitation. Come. Come, he says, come to me. And I want you to note with me this morning the number of people that he invites. There's a great number in the gospel stories that the children will learn in VBS this week. They're full of his gracious invitation. Notice, first of all, this morning he invites those who are loaded down in life, the heavy laden, if you will. When the children learn this week that they can come to God for all their needs, that's an example of coming to God when you feel heavy laden and burdened, and that time in life they will feel that. Pray it's not now. But in time they will come to understand that life is complicated. You have known times, have you not, when life seemed weighted down? I know some people that are weighted down so much with religion that they simply do a whole lot, but they don't seem to enjoy it. Your faith should be enjoyable. It should be. But the true God doesn't weigh us down. What the true God does is He carries us. He saves us. Ask yourself this question this morning. Does your faith give you more weight to carry, or does it help you soar and fly like you had wings and feel lighter, less of a sense of burden? It should do that. If your faith and mine has become a burdensome thing, we can be sure we have missed the correct invitation that Christ extends to us. He extends an invitation to take away our burdens and help those feel better who are heavy laden. It's comforting to me to know that Jesus became tired. Did you notice that in the gospel stories? He often became tired and had to go away to a silent place and rest with his disciples or by himself. He even slept on a boat in the midst of a storm. He was so tired. And I'm delighted to know that he was tired as a fully human one of us. He knows of life's constant demands that we struggle with. He promises that if we turn to him, we will find renewal. And he will calm the storm. That's what he promises. When we meet him here in worship on any given Sunday, let that be a time for peace to come into the midst of your life. It should be. This should be a place that we long to return week after week. And I'll tell you this, you can come here any day of the week and pray. We'll open the doors and let you in if you want to come and seek sanctuary at any time. But hear it again this morning. His gracious invitation, come to me, all who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Secondly, Jesus not only invites the heavy laden, but Jesus invites the little ones. The little ones. He welcomes children. You remember, I hope, that when the disciples tried to shoo the small children away from Jesus, Jesus said to them, No, encourage the little ones to come to me. Jesus loved children. He actually said it. He said, whoever welcomes one child in my name welcomes me. Now that sounds to me like a holy call to be involved in Vacation Bible School and work with children. Now on the other hand, note with me, some of the harshest words out of the mouth of Jesus were directed to those who hurt or misuse children. This morning when I looked at the news on my phone and read the news in the paper, on the phone I read about a child that was used for bait wandering on the side of the road to abduct a woman who stopped to help the child. I want to tell you that must pain the heart of Christ to know that a child was used in such a way. Notice that Jesus said those harsh words, that anyone that hurt or misused a little one, it would be better if a stumbling block were placed around his or her neck and they were thrown into the sea. So much for the meek and mild Jesus. And so Northwood has become, in the name of Christ, a place that welcomes children. That's what we do here. We have a faith-based preschool, and I am sinfully proud of that school. I can tell you almost every year or every other year, I have a parent that will come to me when their child leaves here from preschool and goes into the first grade somewhere here in the communities around us, and the teacher will ask the parents, "Where did your children go to preschool?" And when the parents say, "Kids Corner Preschool," the teacher says, "Oh, I'm so glad. They're going to excel because they are ready for first grade." And I hear that so often. It's such a blessing. Well, so much so is the church here that we understand to welcome children that we also have Northwood Child Care Program. We had last year, the whole year, fall and spring, until this summer, about 45 children or so that came before school and then after school at Lila Davis Elementary. Their parents go to work early in the morning, they drop them off, they come here after school, and the parents pick them up at 6 o'clock. And while they are here, yes, they have a chance to do their homework and other things, but we have a program we offer them called King's Kids, and it is here in this church, perhaps for the very first time, that they learn that they are children of God and loved by God in this church through that program. I read something shocking the other day. It said the leading cause of death beyond unintentional accidents for children was not disease, but abuse. Abuse. Well, let's go on. The third invitation Jesus made was to the lost. The lost. We know that. But I wonder if you ever noticed how many times Jesus seldom called those that were lost sinners. He often didn't do that. What he did instead was spoke of them as people who had lost their way, or as if they were sick and needed to be made well and be healed. That's the way Jesus spoke of the lost. Jesus compared you and me, I hope you're comfortable with this, he compares us to sheep. And he said, sheep have a tendency to wander away from the shepherd. And oftentimes that happens. If you have ever been walking through this world and you have ever felt lost in your way in a given week, remember that it is Jesus who invites you back and welcomes you. He is like the prodigal, the father that welcomes the prodigal son back home. The son had lost his way, and he knew if he returned to his father, he would receive love. And he did. Let me say this to you this morning, especially those who are watching on live streaming as well. It is always good to come home to God. Always. And you are always welcome. It is right to feel good about that. Fourth, always remember that Jesus welcomes those who are lovers of people who have the least. He's lovers of people who love those who have the least among us. Remember how Jesus said it in one of his parables? He said to his disciples, he said, "Come, you are blessed by my Father, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was in prison and you visited me." And then he summed it all up and said, "When you have done it to the least of these, you have done it to me." Jesus loves those who love the least of us. And when we love the least, we are told here that we love Jesus. And he invites us to spend eternity with him. It was John Calvin, the reformer, who said that if you want to see God, you won't see him in Rome. That was Calvin. Mother Teresa said over and over again that she saw the face of Christ in those dying and suffering that she served in Calcutta. Calvin felt, by the way, that you met Christ in the face of the needy, just like in the parable I mentioned before. And we surely hear of our Lord's promise to be with those who are the least. And so the invitations this morning are to those who are heavy laden, to the little ones, to the lost, to those who love those who have the least. And then note with me that Jesus ministered to the lonely and those who were loners. We often forget that, but he did. He ministered to individuals who felt isolated from everyone. I remember learning in vacation Bible school and singing the song about the little man Zacchaeus. I won't sing the song for you this morning. I'll spare you that. But I'll never forget learning about Zacchaeus, that wee little man who was despised because he was a tax collector, despised by his entire community. And when Jesus came to his town, what did he do? He went up a tree in order to see Jesus. And Jesus called him and said, "This night I will eat in your house," and he did. You remember there was a hurting woman. Paul preached about her a few weeks ago, a woman who came through the crowd and she touched the hem of Jesus' garment and she was healed because she came to Jesus. Jesus healed her. There was a woman at the well in Samaria. She had to get her water at noon in the heat of the day. And it was there that this woman known in the community of ill repute, it was there that Jesus came to her and talked to her in public, in front of everyone. And he did not condemn her. He offered to that woman gracious, loving, and kind words. And he said, "Drink of living water, and you will never thirst again." He showed her so much kindness. There was a member of the Supreme Court of the Jews. He was a loner and felt lonely in his journey. Nicodemus, he came to Jesus under the cover of darkness. And it was in that conversation that Jesus offered Nicodemus rebirth. Rebirth. Jesus, you see, ministered to each one of these individuals and many, many more. And to each of them who felt they were going alone on a lonely road, he came to them and said, "Come to me and you will be reborn. You will never be thirsty." He said so much to them. And Jesus still does this in our day and time. And I guess in a sense, all of us are loners. Every one of us. Because when we hurt, we know that no one can feel our pain like we feel it. And so we feel like we are loners and all alone at times. No one can get beneath our skin and share in our pain except our Lord and Savior. And he can. He can. And the church seeks to do this as well. It seeks to care for people. It is here we offer people a relationship one-on-one with people. Join Northwood Presbyterian Church, the old mission statement used to say, because we are small enough to know you and we are large enough to serve you. I like that. It's a good mission statement. So is the one, come, grow, and go. Well, the church seeks to do this. Then sixthly, note with me that Jesus welcomes those whom I would call the lusty. The lusty. Now that's an odd word, lusty, but in my dictionary what it means is those who are strong and vigorous and hardy and rugged and red-blooded. And Jesus comes to them as well and says, "Come, follow me. Be in a relationship with me." He invites the young. He invites the young who have all their dreams and hopes for life. "Come, follow me. You are full of life. Come, follow me." He invites those who have gifts and talents to share. He invites those who have wisdom and maturity to share that with others. He invites those with financial wherewithal to share it. To share it in his church. Jesus, you see, calls out not only to the needy, but he calls out to those who have service and life and strength to offer him and be vigorous about it. God, you see, doesn't just help the weaklings of the Bible, though he does that. It is Joshua who led the people of Israel into the promised land. To Joshua that God said, be strong and courageous and go into the land and you will possess it. It was to Moses, great Moses, son of Pharaoh, son of Hebrew slaves, whom God used to free his people from bondage. It was David. It was David the shepherd boy who killed the giant Goliath. And it was David who became king. And it was David who sang in the Psalms, God is my strong fortress, what shall I fear? The point is that Jesus welcomes us in our weakness and in our strength, in our sadness and our joy. And he also, remember in our passage, he called out to that rich young ruler. Jesus loved him immediately. He had conversation with him. He entered into a relationship. They began to talk. But in spite of the welcome, we are told in that passage that the young man went away sad, because it seems at least in that moment, in that conversation, he did not follow Jesus and was saddened because he had many possessions. I wish there were more we knew about that man in the story, because I expect at some point he came and followed Jesus, because Jesus was that invitational to others. One more, always remember that Jesus invites those who are lifeless. He said, I have come that you might have life and have it abundant. And that's what people often miss, that Jesus doesn't just welcome us to the sweet by and by at death, but that our eternal life begins in the here and now. One scholar has said that our eternal life begins at our baptism. At our baptism. It begins now, and we are to enjoy that eternal life in the here and now. And so start living your eternal life, right? Now, here, today. There was a young boy who wrote a birthday card to his uncle who was aging and getting older. And the boy wrote a note in that birthday card. He said, Dear Uncle, I hope you have many more happy birthdays, and I hope that you live all your life. Jesus helps us to live, you see, all of our life. He offers us a richer life and a life that's richer to come. I want to close with this story. When I was a seminary student 40 years ago, on Sundays, I often worshipped at the Peachtree Presbyterian Church. It was at that time the largest Presbyterian church in the country. And I learned when I finished seminary that part of my scholarship had come from the men's Bible class in that church. It was a significant gift that they made, not just to me, but to other students as well. That was the offering they took up in their Sunday school class to help us as seminary students. And I'm grateful for that. But the pastor, Frank Harrington, I remember listening to him on Sunday mornings, and he told a number of just really, really good stories. He told one of them about a friend of his, a minister in a large Presbyterian church in Texas, and how one Sunday morning his minister friend told him that he had just given one of those sermons that he wondered if anyone heard anything. It sometimes goes through a minister's mind on Sunday afternoon, did anyone hear anything this morning? And in that church, it was a cold Sunday, and it was New Year's Day. And attendance was low because many people had stayed out late on New Year's Eve. And after the sermon that day, one of the associate pastors had given the announcements, and he made the invitation for people to join the church. He was saying that if there was anyone who wanted to join the church, they could attend the next membership class. And he read it kind of lackadaisically. And suddenly the atmosphere in the church became electric, because a man leapt up in the second pew, And he said, "You mean I can't come down right now and dedicate my life to Christ?" Well, you know, we don't do that often in the Presbyterian church. Many churches don't do that, in fact. And by the time they had resuscitated the associate pastor, the associate had leaned over to the senior pastor and said, What do I say?" And the senior pastor, not realizing that he still had his wireless mic on and it was turned on, he said to the associate, "What do you say?" He said, "Say yes, for God's sake. That's what we're here for. Say yes." And what he said rang over the entire congregation that Sunday. More than that, because they were a large church and televised in Texas, all of Texas heard that pastor say, "Say yes, for God's sake. That's what we're here for." And finally, the man in the second pew, he stumbled up to the communion table. He knelt down, and the associate pastor knelt with him and said a prayer. And that man said yes to Christ on that occasion. And as folks were leaving the church that day, one woman turned to her friend and said, "You know, when the pastor said what he said today, even though he didn't mean to say it aloud, I thought I heard God's voice in this old church." And her friend turned to her and said, "I think it was." What a great morning it would be. And what a great week it will be as seeds are planted into the hearts and minds of these little ones that will be here. And what a great day it would be if someone said yes to Christ. Let us pray. O Lord and our God, in these moments, remind us that you have been near to us. You have been near to us in this hour of worship, and you are near with us when we go from here. Remind us we go as your people. Use us, we pray, to love the lonely, the lost, and the least. And to always welcome the little ones. Amen.